providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. I hope you all enjoyed those first two segments with Jesse Felder. In the next segment, we are going to continue to focus almost exclusively on the precious metals sector, maybe even get into some commodities as we are chatting with Jeff Christian, managing partner at the CPM Group. Now, Jeff, just as a broad question to start us off here, precious metals are starting off this year quite well. Gold blew through 1900, silver's up in the $24 region. What are you seeing as the key drivers here that are continuing to push the precious metals higher?
Yeah, I think there are three big sets of factors that you have to pay attention to. There are certain cyclical factors, which I'll get back to, and secular ones, and then there's some seasonal ones. Precious metals prices tend to be strong in the first quarter. You have them coming out of the holiday season, but you also have the Lunar New Year. And the Lunar New Year this year is on January 22nd. So there's a lot of gold and silver being bought right now by wholesalers, manufacturers, and retailers of gold and silver investment products and jewelry throughout Southeast Asia and, well, throughout Asia. So the Lunar New Year demand is a big issue. And a lot of these companies exist in places where you can't, like, forward buy or hedge your metal effectively. So the manufacturers, wholesalers, and retailers actually are buying precious metals. And that's one of the factors. You also tend to see kind of strong jewelry demand, both in advance of Valentine's Day, gold and silver demand by jewelers for manufacturing jewelry for sales in Valentine's Day. And actually, there's a lot of demand for jewelry in January, which is self-purchasing by people who didn't get the jewelry they wanted for Christmas. Strangely enough, it's a big area. So you have fabrication demand tends to be strong, investment demand tends to be strong, and you have the seasonal strength in prices. But then you go back and you say, because seasonal gets overruled by secular and cyclical factors, what's really happening? You know, you've had this debacle in the United States Congress. You have ongoing dysfunction throughout the U.S. government. You have these massive deficits and massive problems that haven't been being dealt with. You have the Brazilian government problems, Peruvian government problems. You have issues throughout Europe and the U.K. You have issues within the Chinese government and political structure and social structure. And you have the ongoing Russian invasion of Ukraine and increasing divisions within Russian political and economic circles. So you have a lot of events that are going on right now that are causing investors to say, hey, maybe I should have more of my money in gold and silver. And then you have the simple fact that if you look at the prices of assets year over year, T-bills were up last year. They were the top performing asset class. Silver was the second top performer. Silver prices were 3% higher at the end of 2022 than they were at the end of 2021. Gold was off 0.1%. The next highest performing asset class was off 11%. And everything else, stocks and bonds and real estate, was off 11% to 22%. So there are any number of investors and institutional investment managers and managers of institutional investment management companies saying, hey, gold and silver did their job last year. They were portfolio diversifiers who helped preserve the value of a portfolio if you had gold and silver in them. Let's look at what we're looking at for 2023 and say to ourselves, we should have more gold and silver in our portfolio because they worked well as portfolio diversifiers last year, and we're probably going to need them in our portfolio again this year. So I think you have a whole bunch of cyclical, secular events and seasonal factors that are pushing gold and silver prices up right now.
Well, Jeff, I think that's a solid point about how well the precious metals did, all things considered, in the year of 22 compared to other asset classes. And you've made the point on the show a number of times, Jeff, that, you know, the physical demand side of it and the manufacturing and the fabrication is more of a known entity, but really it's the investment demand around the peripheral that can move the prices more. And so when we look back at 2022 and look forward at 2023, I guess the question is, why are people buying gold and silver as a portfolio diversifier? Was it for inflation? Is it for geopolitical risk? Is it for financial uncertainty with what the central banks are trying to escalate, which is a soft landing versus a recession? Why is investment demand getting into gold and silver, and why has it been? Because it didn't really work as well as people thought as an inflation hedge, and geopolitical events are usually passing. So what do you think the main drivers are, have been, and what will they be moving into next year?
I think how high interest rates go, whether they throw the world in, or the U.S. or the industrialized world into a recession, and inflation, I think those are major factors. Currency market has been a factor, and it's interesting because, you know, until November, you had a very strong U.S. dollar. Yeah, the U.S. dollar rose strongly, really, from the middle of 2021 into November of this of 2022. And throughout that period of time, you had, especially in the gold market, any number of naysayers who were saying, no, the dollar shouldn't be appreciating as strongly as it is. It should be collapsing. And it didn't collapse. You know, it has fallen sharply since November, and it's back down to the levels that we saw, you know, back in August of last year. So it's still very high compared to where it was throughout 2021 and the first half of 2022. But you had a lot of people who, you know, 75-80% of world private wealth is in dollar-denominated assets. And these people were saying, hey, the dollar's too strong. The dollar shouldn't be this strong. The dollar should be falling. So you had people cycling out of dollar-denominated assets, and some of that money was being parked in gold and silver last year, simply because the dollar was so high. You'll see this sometimes where, you know, people say it doesn't make sense. You know, you would think that the gold price would fall as stock prices rise, but I'm actually seeing investment demand for gold rise in line with the stock market rising. And that actually makes sense because as the stock market rises, if you're a stock market investor, you're saying to yourself, okay, I've got increased profits in stocks. How much higher is it going to go? Should I be cycling some of my money out of stocks and putting it into other assets like gold and silver, waiting for the stock market to come back down? So, you know, I think you were seeing that in the currency market last year too.
So Jeff, this always brings up a question, and because we talk so much and focus so much on the precious metals, we're always hearing about the potential of this being a generational shift. Something big is happening, whether it's in the currency markets, whether it's with individual countries, or even diving down into investors, if they're going through a significant generational shift in how they manage their portfolios. Have you seen any of that just in this last year?
I'm not sure if it's generational, but, you know, I have this nasty habit of naming years, and I've named 2023 the year of transition. And I do think that there are some major changes going on really throughout society. You know, it starts with social trends, but also political trends, economic and financial and investment trends. And I do think that you're seeing around the world a lot of people sort of taking stock in who they are, where they are, where they are in their lives, and where they want to be. And you know, we've seen this in employment trends. We've seen it in consumption trends. We've seen it in real estate. And I think that you're also seeing that in precious metals and other investments, where people are sort of saying, you know, what changes do I want to make in the way I live for the rest, you know, at this point in my life? And I think that this is a particularly poignant moment where people are reevaluating what they've done so far and what they want to do going forward.
Well, and Jeff, along that same theme, a lot of people have been discouraged from being savers for really a long time because there was no rate of return for saving. There was no rate of return for CDs or money markets or putting things in a bank. Now that's changed. There is an alternative and rates have gone higher, to your point. And so people are saving. Do you think more generalists will decide to save some of their store of wealth in gold and silver? Because right now, most generalists still have very little allocation. And if there was just a small shift, we always hear that would be a tsunami of new capital coming in. Do you anticipate the new paradigms around saving may also help the precious metal space?
Yes and no. I mean, I do think that you are seeing and you will continue to see fresh investors and new investors move into precious metals. I wouldn't be surprised to see some sell side institutional, you know, financial companies coming up with new gold and silver related investment products to meet that demand. But I am very cautious about how big, you know, it's not going to be a tsunami, and it's not going to be the, oh, everybody's buying an ounce of gold, so the price is going to quadruple. There are a lot of people who still think of gold and silver as things that crazy people invest in. And there are a lot of people who don't necessarily feel comfortable owning gold and silver. And there are a lot of sell-side institutions that know, you know, if I sell an investor a stock or a bond or an ETF or a note indexed to the stocks, the turn on that is probably somewhere between 3/4 and 5/4. So I'm going to see that money come out of that asset and get redeployed, reinvested in another asset, and I'm going to get a sales commission. But if I sell that investor physical precious metals, I'm not going to have another commission on that money until he's dead, because people tend to buy, especially gold, they tend to buy gold and not sell it. Silver investors will buy and sell much more readily. So you have an institutional bias on the part of mainstream sell side in financial corporations against selling precious metals, physical precious metals, simply because you don't see the turn on that and you don't see the commission dollars returning. And I think that is one of several structural issues that will keep investors from like pouring into precious metals. You solve that, which you really can't solve. You know, if financial institutions found a way to solve that, then you would probably see them much more interested in selling physical precious metals.
Fair enough. That is just the market though, right? The market is more longer buy and hold people, but hey, there's also the stocks out there, and those can go on their own wild rides, which we saw last year, and which it looks like the stocks are, some of them at least, starting to recover. But I know a lot of people, when they hear, oh, gold did so well last year, or compared to all these other asset classes, why didn't my gold stocks do so well? It's a different argument in that sense. But hey, you bring up some good points, Jeff. We're going to follow up with you as this year progresses, and hopefully it does turn out to be at least a more productive year for precious metals, and it does bring in some more investors. But boy, oh boy, this is going to be another very interesting year, and I like your term, a year of transition. Jeff, thank you as always for your time.
It's always a pleasure.